Hello and welcome back to Not Just Paleo. I'm your host, Evan Brand. Do I have to still introduce myself to my own show? It's kind of interesting. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I guess I'll keep doing it until you tell me to do otherwise. Anyway, there's not many people that you find in life that just really make you happy and make you feel like life is worth living, you know? And my friend Dr. Justin is one of those guys, and we came across each other. I don't even remember how, and we were living together, not in the same house, but living in the same city in Austin for a while. And of course, we meet as soon as I'm headed back to Kentucky. But luckily, I recently got to go back to Austin and hang out with him and go to a paleo party and things like that. So now we're deciding to do shows together more frequently and talk a little bit more about the clinical side of things, the application side of things, and a little bit less theory and rambling conversation on the show like usual. I want to be more helpful. I don't want you to spend an hour of your time and maybe I only give you one takeaway. So we're really just going to boom, 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 all the points that are helpful on different subjects, whether it's stress, sleep, etc. So I want to be the most helpful podcast out on iTunes. So let me know in the reviews on iTunes if I'm accomplishing that, and you could schedule a free consult back at my website. Just head to notjustpaleo.com, and you can even do it on your phone, and you'll see the little Make an Appointment button as soon as you get there. All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Dr. Justin Marcogiani here with Beyond Wellness Radio, and I am super stoked that we have our new guest co-host here, Evan Brand. So today we're going to be chatting a little bit about stress and things you can do to help reduce stress. Evan, what's going on with you today, man?
Oh, not much. I'm staring at the clouds, hoping they'll break up so I can get outside and play in the woods later today. But I'm excited to talk about stress today, man, just because it's such a timely subject for myself, trying to multitask 20 different things at the same time without burning myself out. So I'm sure other people are in the same scenario.
Yeah, and how can people find your podcast?
They could just search Not Just Paleo or just Google Evan Brand. You'll find me that way, too, and all my podcasts.
Good. Awesome. I figure maybe Russell Brand would come up there in the search too, but you outbid him.
Yeah.
That's good. Very cool. It's good to have your own brand, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about stress. Why don't you go first?
Sure. So I guess it's helpful to talk about my first realization of stress. You know, I'm a pretty relaxed guy overall, and I didn't really get my first taste of stress until I moved down to Austin a couple years ago and had a big cool desk job career and all of that, and moved down there with my now wife, and we got our own place and paying all the big bills, you know, growing up, becoming a man and moving thousands of miles away to chase my dream. And I started to have all these weird symptoms like insomnia. I was just laying in bed staring at the ceiling. I couldn't figure out what was going on because I was exercising. I was eating paleo. I mean, it's [S2] Yeah. [S1] Like, come on. I'm doing everything right. What's going on? And so it slowly became harder for me to adjust to stress. I was becoming easily startled. I mean, if I heard a loud boom, I would kind of jump when I used to not jump. So I figured that some nervous system taxation was happening and I needed to figure out how to recover it. So I basically just began researching adaptogens at that point and relied heavily on them as a stepping stone, or maybe a crutch, if you will, for the time being. And then long story short, I ended up writing the Stress Solutions book, which I still don't think I've given you a paperback copy of, but I basically tried to boil everything that I was going through down into an actionable plan so that other people could apply it.
That's great. I mean, stress is one of those, you know, things that people just kind of think about emotional stress as being stress, right, as stressful. They don't think about the, hey, I'm sitting all day, or I have low blood sugar, or I have reactive hypoglycemia, or maybe I have low stomach acid. We don't think of those things as being stressful. And I think with functional medicine, we really want to highlight the underlying chemical stressors that people forget about, because those are like the hidden energy zap of your adrenals, of your body's reserve. And the lower your adrenals are, typically the lower ability that you have to adapt to stress, because it's really all about adaptation. And that's one of the cool things that, you know, me and you are both really passionate about, is adaptogenic herbs, because they really help your body deal with stress. We just got to make sure the diet component is down, because that's such a big factor, as you talked about, to just being the foundation of helping to deal with stress. Having those good meals, having that good sleep, that really sets the foundation throughout the day so you can deal with more stress.
Yeah, well, I think the part you've kind of alluded to where people mess themselves up with stress is that they get so busy, right? They're trying to be so productive that they forget to eat. I mean, you and I are probably guilty of this ourselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're sitting on the computer and you look and holy crap, it's 2 p.m. and I haven't eaten lunch yet. And the blood sugar issues, I mean, you've even hounded me before. Evan, you got to get that blood sugar in check, yeah, man. And it's a huge deal for general stress. It's a stress to the adrenals. You're having to produce cortisol to raise up your blood sugar levels. And people may be familiar with cortisol and how it's not always evil. You know, it has a place in your body. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get up and do your work in the morning when you get, hopefully, you get bright light exposure outdoors. But you know, the cortisol picture when it comes to food was a huge deal for me, and I had to become more regimented in eating my meals. So if you're trying to get a takeaway from this, it would be to eat regular meals. Try not to skip meals. Intermittent fasting and things like that have a great place, but if you're the type of person that's listening and you feel like you're recovering slowly from cuts and wounds and your sleep is messed up and you're relying on the cups of coffee to keep you fueled up, then you may want to look at that diet picture and make sure you're getting enough food, but that you're getting it in somewhat regular frequency, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so too. And having a paleo template, I don't like the word diet. I like the word template because it allows the individuality of what your macronutrients may be best for you. Again, my default is always to a lower carb paleo template because lower carb tends to emphasize more on the vegetables and less on the starch and sugar or fruit, so to speak. Again, there's a place for starch. There's a place for fruit. But anyone that has weight gain is a complaint in their top five. Emphasizing the lower carb as a starting point for their low carb paleo template, I think is a really good place to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one pet peeve too, sorry to cut you off there, is there are a lot of people in the paleo community, and this really drives me nuts, where they make the exception the rule, where they may be able to eat something, or they may be able to fast all day, or they may be able to do that, and then they go on and blog and talk about them being the exception and this is the rule and recommend it for everyone. And I'm in a unique position because I'm in the trenches dealing with 40 plus functional medicine patients a week from all over the world, and I get to see the common trends in why and what these people who are sick are doing. And is a common trend of blood sugar stability being a major issue. There's a common trend of skipping meals and not eating breakfast. And there's a lot of when these issues are addressed from a diet and lifestyle perspective, people see an improvement. So not everyone may be able to fast and do intermittent fasting. Not everyone can skip breakfast. People really have to be more diligent with their meals the more broken or stressed their physiology is.
Yeah, a woman I was actually working with yesterday, she said, Evan, I've read all the Mark's Daily Apple success stories, and I've done everything they've done, but yet I'm not losing weight. And it's so simple to see that, and you see what works for someone, so everybody does all of this self-diagnosing and self-treating, and I think that's a really good part about the internet is that people are allowed to empower themselves, but
yeah.
I think that's where the role of you and I really come in, because people have tried to fix themselves and it just doesn't work because they're basing themselves off of someone else's unique bio-individuality, and you're destined to fail that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you get a summons to court, let's say something happened, you're called to court. I mean, do you go online and just try to figure out the hacks so you can do good in court? I mean, 9 times out of 10, the people that represent themselves in court, unless they're a lawyer themselves, they don't do too well. So it's like you get the lawyer because it's worth it in the end, because if you don't, you know, a lot of bad things could happen. And same thing in functional medicine and the functional nutrition world is that you can just waste a lot more time because, you know, you only have your N equals one to go from. You only have just your experience. And it's hard to connect the dots when you haven't seen a lot of different experiences and connect the commonalities.
Mm-hmm. Man, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the lifestyle part of stress and something that's really cool in the research lately, and that's Shinrin Yoku, aka forest bathing. I think I may have talked to you about it before, but for people that that don't know, it's called Shinrin Yoku by the Japanese. And when you're looking in PubMed, if you're, you know, a physician listening and you want to research it yourself, type in Shinrin Yoku or forest bathing and you'll see the results. These Japanese researchers have taken, there was one particular study that took 420 individuals out into the woods, several different forests, and they took them, some out, were out there for a few days, and some were out there for just 15 minutes. And then the control group were people that were walking down a sidewalk in the city. And they took salivary cortisol measures before and after this. And there was a significant reduction. I don't remember the exact percentage, but a significant reduction in cortisol levels after just 15 minutes in the forest. But even more interesting is that their NK killer cells, their immune cells, were boosted not only for that day, but even 1 month after. I do remember this percentage, 23% boost in NK killer cells 1 month after a hike in the woods. So.
Whoa.
If you have the opportunity to take a trip to the woods, or if you have maybe a trail behind you, when I was in Austin on the southwest side of town, there was a pretty good patch of woods back there, and I would go walk through there at the end of a stressful day, and I felt significantly better. Obviously, the peace and quiet, not having to hear car alarms and sirens and things like that is helpful in itself, but it kind of boils down to the airborne chemicals. They call them the phytoncides, I believe it is. It's these airborne chemicals that trees and plants put off. Of course, your body's going to benefit from those. That's what we've naturally been exposed to for a million years at this point. So I just wanted to kind of throw that piece of research out there and encourage people, get outdoors. If you're stressed out at your desk, there's a reason. Get off your desk and go out there and just try to get a change of environment.
I think that's really important to get out there, get your vitamin D, do some grounding, lots of good benefits. And I love having some of the physiology, some of the objective markers behind it, because you hear some of these things and you're like, oh, you're just a hippie or whatever. And it's cool to have the science behind it, because you're like, oh, wow, this is legit. This isn't just like, you know, some hippie telling me what to do.
Exactly. Totally. I know it definitely helps my credibility.
Yeah. And there's another cool thing because, you know, frankly, we're going to spend more time inside, most of us. That's just the way it is. So what can we do to help with that? I've invested in my office at home and my office at work to have stand desk where I can have my desk literally go up or down. And I'm sitting right now, as you can see on the feed here, but I've been standing most of the day and I will stand most of the day. And that makes a huge difference for me, the standing, being able to move around. And posture is so important. Amy Cuddy did a TED Talk, and she, again, let's take some of the objective markers here. She took people that were in this kind of slouched over posture, and she ran salivary cortisol, and she had them stand up and pull their shoulders back, and they went into this power pose with their arms up, reaching overhead, kind of like maybe the running back when they score a touchdown, or Stallone in the Rocky movies once he gets to the top of those steps and he puts his arms up. And she had people literally just take their arms, put them above their head, and hold them there for 2 minutes. And she ran salivary cortisol and testosterone, and she saw a 20% reduction in cortisol, that stress hormone, and an improvement in testosterone just with a postural change for 2 minutes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, and I write some stuff like that on my lifestyle recommendations when I'll make a plan. I'll tell people, look, I want you to stand with your hands on your hips and
yes.
put your chest up. And I do feel a bit like a hippie when I'm telling people that, but I'm glad that there's more verification there.
Yeah, I mean, she ran salivary cortisol, salivary hormones, and, you know, we do that in our practices with our patients, and it's great to see simple things like posture. And when I go to the gym, I do, like, foundation training exercises, which is like Eric Goodman's work, or I'll do work where I'll sit up against the wall, ankles, butt, shoulders, and head, and I'll keep my jaw level with the ground, and I'll pull my head back into that postural position and really work on strengthening the deep cervical flexors in front by the neck and stretching those back posterior cervical extensors and really work on good posture, because we know posture is so important even to your hormones.
That's cool. So, I mean, that all does tie into stress, because when you are stressed, you're more likely to curl up in a ball and
you are
just feel depressed and I mean, there's no better word, depressed. Your physiology is depressed, your posture. I mean, everything about you is exuding depression and stress. So, I mean,
if you are feeling stressed, this may be a time for you to stand up while you're listening to this podcast and try out some of these poses. When I'm out in nature, especially, man, I like to put my arms out and put my palms up and just open up like I'm powerful, you know, and it's goofy, but it makes you feel better.
Yeah, my wife caught me one time in the office, me doing the power pose, reaching the arms overhead, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Power poses, trying to decrease my cortisol." She gets it though. So so those power poses are cool. Maybe play a little Eye of the Tiger and, you know, get in that position, you know, and get pumped throughout the day. So yeah, I agree. Posture is a big one, and it can really help your hormones.
Definitely. Well, what's the next topic of stress, or what's the next facet of stress you think that we've hit on? We've hit on the lifestyle a little bit. We've hit on the diet. What am I missing?
So I think the diet and the lifestyle stuff, that's the foundation. Don't do anything else until you have that master, because that's going to be your best bang for your buck. But we're big fans of adaptogens. I know you've worked on it for a bit, designing some of these custom blends, and I have some blends in the work here that I use with my patients with various adaptogens. I'm a huge fan of them because, I mean, everyone should be on an adaptogen, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. I took my adaptogens this morning. I've been experimenting. I don't have any affiliation with them, but I've been experimenting with the Organic India Joy blend. And it's ashwagandha, shank push pea, go-to cola, and one bacopa.
Copa. Ooh, that's a nice one.
It's an awesome stack. I mean, I didn't take it this morning. I should have for this podcast, but I end up with a permagrin for a few hours afterwards.
Oh, wow. That's good. I'm going to have to give you one paleo demerit today for not taking your adaptogens.
Well, no, I did take ashwagandha, and I took a mushroom complex as well. So I'm on some adaptogens, but not that one yet.
Nice. I'm on about 800 milligrams of Eleuthero. And also about 600 milligrams of rhodiola today.
That's great.
So it's just a rhodiola Eleuthero day, and I'm feeling good. My wife, she forgot to take her adaptogens for the last couple of weeks, just kind of got into that stress routine, and I could see like there was a big difference in her mood, and we just got her up on the adaptogens, and when she came home from work, her mood was just 1,000 times better. And you know, she's, you know, an executive of a really big internet company, so she has a lot of stress on her, and adaptogens for her make a massive difference in how
that's
she
so
performs.
Cool. Talk about her stack a little bit. I'm sure people are curious about if she's taking capsules, tinctures, etc.
Yeah, so for her, we have her on some female hormone tincture blends to help with hormones and keeping her cycle optimized. And then she's on a similar stack as me right now because I create her regimens and programs, so it's easier for her just to kind of piggyback on what I'm doing. So we use some of the same adaptogens, but typically I go back and forth between ashwagandha, rhodiola, Eleuthero. I'll mix in some Panax ginseng or red root ginseng, and we'll even do some holy basil at night. And those are the big ones that I tend to go for, for adaptogenic qualities.
So Eleuthero, that's the same thing as – that's the Siberian version of ginseng, right?
Yeah, so ginsengs typically are made up of where they're grown, right? The phytosignature in the soil makes up a huge difference. So, for instance, with Eleuthero, that's kind of more the Siberian Russian area, okay? And then you have, like, the maca, which is more of your Peruvian ginseng. You have your ashwagandha, which is more of your Indian ginseng. Your Panax ginseng is more of the American ginseng, American soil. You have the red root ginseng, which is more your Korean ginseng. And then you have herbs like tribulus, which tend to have a better phytosignature grown in Bulgarian soils, so et cetera. These herbs are really important. If you talk to any master herbalist, the quality of the soil has just as much to do with the quality of the herb. So I like, you know, wild-crafted, meaning you get guys that go out there and pick them up by their hands, and you get really good quality, and you don't have, like, you know, cheap herbs grown in countries where the soil isn't good, and you know, you get bad soil, so maybe there's heavy metals in the soil, like grown in industrial Chinese areas, and then you get crappy herbs with a whole bunch of metals.
Yeah, that's an important distinction you made. If you're concerned about that, you know, you can look for the organic, you can look for the wildcrafted certification and things like that. And always, I mean, I go super geeky sometimes and contact the manufacturer or the company themselves and just say, hey, do you have heavy metal testing?
Most of the time, I mean, generally speaking, if a company is reputable, they're going to have that testing available and they're going to have it done. They're not going to have it on the shelves, but I'm sure there's some shady adaptogens you can find in a store on a corner somewhere.
Yeah, and you know, I always recommend companies that are third party independently tested as well. Because if a company's willing to go to that extreme, that means they're very, very confident, because independent tests don't lie. And but patients will either choose an adaptogenic herb or will use a combination blend. And I'm kind of have some in the works right now that I'm creating in my private line for my patients.
That's exciting. I can't wait to get a batch. You have to send me the first bottle that comes off the line.
Absolutely. And I know you've worked on blends with Onnit. What are some of the blends you've worked on?
Yeah, there's one that I don't even know if it's going to hit the shelf. I'm still kind of anxiously waiting to see. And one was basically, it was a workout supplement for women. But what I did is I basically added some adaptogenic support to this workout supplement, but also a little bit of blood sugar support too, because I'm guessing that women, they're going to be busy. It's the fast-paced woman who wants to work out right after she, you know, gets out of the office, things like that. So what I did is I created a combination of some blood sugar support, like some 7-keto, but then I also added in some ashwagandha and some rhodiola, and then I added just a little bit of cordyceps to give the more oxygen utilization side of things. It was too big. I ended up just having so much fun combining the blend. It was too big to fit into capsules. It'd be like 10 capsules or something ridiculous. So it would have had to end up becoming a powder. And then, of course, the whole issue becomes, how are you going to make it taste decent with stevia? And can you get true natural flavors and things like that? So I basically came up with all the ingredients and then sent it over to Aubrey, the CEO, and said, hey, here's what I got. And then he goes to his stepmom, who's a doctor, and she verifies and tells me whether I know what I'm talking about or not. And then it would go onward to, you know, the flavoring department and things like that. So that was probably my biggest and most fun project. But then I just worked on some of the science, too, behind the other pages of, like, the Alpha Brain, for example, the Shroom Tech Sport, the Virotech. It was like a vitamin C and alpha lipoic acid, immune-boosting type supplement, making sure that the science was there to support the use of lysine to balance out your arginine and things like that. So I did a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but if I see that product hit the shelves with a label, I'll be sure to have it framed or something like that in a little special box.
That's great, and I saw that you put out some affiliate codes for some of the Onnit products this morning.
I finally got a 10% code for people. So if you want to check that out, they can just go to notjustpaleo.com/supplements, and then I'll have my little built-in code where you get 10% off. Because who likes to pay full price for supplements if you can get a discount?
That's great. So. Very cool. And you also mentioned cordyceps too, and cordyceps are a mushroom. They're not necessarily an herb, but they have adaptogenic qualities, which is cool. They really support the adrenals. They help with glutathione production, and they boost up DHEA, which is that sex hormone precursor that tends to be depleted with chronic stress.
Yeah, I take cordyceps every day. Actually, right now I'm using Lucky's Market. They have just a store brand of organic mushroom blend. I mean, it has everything. You would love it. It has maitake, the shiitake, the reishi, the cordyceps. I've been feeling so good. I told Hannah, my wife, yesterday, I said, babe, I've been feeling so good lately because I've just added in a couple new combinations of nutrients to my stack, and I've been on fire. I mean, I've been really feeling good. So, I mean, if someone's questioning, do I really need this stuff? To me, it's a 21st century prerequisite to have a good stack on hand. I mean, life is stressful. You're pulled in 50 directions. You got to have some sort of solid basis of nutrients that are going in. Of course, diet's the first part. But, you know, assuming that you and I are following something like Dr. Justin and I, supplements are that thing that takes you to the next level and separates you from the competition.
Yeah, and I had a patient that, you know, asked me, like, do I really need this? And I say, well, would you describe your life at all stressful? She's like, yeah, I have this. And even though it's like this person wasn't a full-time, you know, in the corporate world, they were a full-time mom, which a lot of times is even more stressful. And it's like, unless you can tell me that your life is stress-free and is relatively easy,
you're going to benefit with some level of adaptogenic support and or nutrient support, because when we're stressed, we also burn through B vitamins. So I also add in some extra B vitamins, and in my patients, at some level, we do organic acid testing, and we'll look at the B vitamins because they'll burn through those suckers pretty fast with extra stress. So some level, I have an adaptogenic herb or two in my protocol. I'll have extra stress nutrients that go down, or should say drop with stress, or will be burned up with stress. And then a mushroom is great. I'm a huge fan of reishi just because of the fact of its immune modulating effects. It's called the 10,000-year mushroom, so it's been around longer than any supplement, so to speak. And it's, you know, amazing. You hear some of the people in the pharmaceutical industry saying, oh, well, some of these supplements or herbs that are untested, they've been around so long, some of them, it's not even funny. The question is, do we have good quality? And again, 95% are crap. So we just have to know the right places to get it from.
Totally. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. I mean, some of these drugs will come out and they'll be out on the market for 2 years, and one rat study for 6 months or something just proves that it's safe. And then you have ancient Chinese wisdom or something that's been written in books on hemp and papyrus. Yeah. And that's the real stuff that we're really starting to respect. And the science keeps continuing to back up the evidence and the great value in these things. So yeah. Keep an open mind, really.
Yeah, especially with stress. I mean, you get some of these scientific journals in these Oriental countries. I mean, you have like reishi being used as a first-line therapy in cancer. They're using cordyceps mushrooms for kidney transplants. I mean, this is crazy. Like, wow. People in the United States have no idea. Just go into PubMed and punch some of these things in, and you get lots of scientific journals in other countries that are researching this stuff, and it just doesn't make its way over here. And it's sad because, you know, medicine is pretty much co-opted by the drug industry. So unless a drug company has billions of dollars behind something, it's not really going to get out to the everyday person just because it's so expensive to bring something to market. It's hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And if you can't patent it, you're not going to get the money back. So other countries, their laws are more lax, and it's easier to bring things to market. So it's easier. And you know, the U.S., I think the U.S. and I think New Zealand, it's either New Zealand or Australia, are the only two countries that actually market their drugs to the consumer on TV.
Oh, yeah. I've actually had some friends that have come from overseas, and they see a drug commercial. And they're like, holy crap, you can do that? Ask your doctor. What do you mean, ask the doctor? I thought the doctor's supposed to tell you. Nope, you're asking your doctor these days, you know. So that's just that's a whole nother podcast.
Oh, yeah, and 70 to 80 – the research is clear. 70 to 80% of the time when the patient goes into the doctor and requests the drug because they saw it on TV, they get the prescription. It has a major effect on influence from the doctor.
That's incredible. But,
so kind of tying this back to stress, I'm a big fan of mushrooms. Right? Huge, huge fan. Helps with stress. I like cordyceps, and I like reishi. And also, if you're dealing with any chronic immune stuff like cancer, Coriolis is another awesome mushroom. Typically using that in conjunction with reishi work phenomenal. Love it. Take these mushrooms individually too. Like, I don't use a lot of blends because I want to get 3 grams of reishis. I want to get 4 grams of reishis. And you look at these blends, I mean, you're lucky to get maybe 100 or 300 milligrams. Yeah, I think it's good to just have like just a straight cordyceps, a straight reishi, and just kind of mix it that way. That can be a good way to do it. Just mix the whole herb straight in.
Mm-hmm. I think we only got a couple minutes left, but man, we could probably spend 3 hours on this topic. I didn't realize how enjoyable both you and I would dig into this today.
Yeah, I'm really happy we have this extra, you know, once or twice a month, we're going to be having these conversations and really diving in deep. And it's great because I get to bring my clinical experience working with thousands of patients, and you get to bring your clinical experience working with lots of patients as well. And we get to kind of share it with the listeners, which is awesome.
It's a blast.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to add today, Evan?
I'm still getting emails like, wow, that Dr. Justin guy kicks ass. So check out that episode if you need a good place to start, but there's plenty more where that came from. And, you know, 99% of the stuff that Dr. Justin and I both put out is free. So there is hope. Stay confident and stay positive. Take baby steps in the right direction every day, and I guarantee you'll get massive results.
Yeah, and if you listen to these podcasts or read some of our blogs and posts and you feel like, well, I don't know where to start, you know, this is kind of the best step, is to reach out to either me or Evan
And we can kind of help guide you in the first couple of steps to take, because, you know, you're always going to do better with, you know, with a trail guide that's already hiked the mountain a few times that can help navigate all the pitfalls.
Definitely.
Well, Evan, hey, it was great talking today, man.
Yeah, likewise.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hounded Dr. Justin. I said, man, we have to upgrade the audio quality. So I'm sorry about that for this episode. It's not up to par like you're used to here at Not Just Paleo. But thanks for making it to the end. If you haven't signed up for my newsletter yet, I highly recommend you do that. Go to notjustpaleo.com/guides, G-U-I-D-E-S, guides, and you'll get access to not only some free guides that I've written comparing a high-fat diet versus the myth of the alkaline diet, also you'll get a free chapter of my second book, Stress Solutions, so go ahead and get that. I completely couldn't even fumbled my words. I couldn't even get my words out. So you know what to do. Go get the newsletter. When you jump on the newsletter, you'll get a new series of emails I just created talking about the differences between functional medicine and conventional medicine, which you're probably already aware of, but I talk about some more myths and truths about health and fitness that I don't talk about on the blog. So that's a series you can only get on the newsletter. And then lastly, you can sign up for a free consult back at the website, whether you're on your phone, your tablet, whatever. You'll see the click to make an appointment button. Just click that. It'll take you to my schedule. You'll book a 15 to 20 minute free consult, and we'll go from there. So take care, and I'll talk to you next week. All right, bye.